All right, I'm going to do something strange. Oh, hush, John, hush, just be quiet. All right, y'all got it out of your system? All right, behave now. I didn't plan to do this, but I want to finish one thing that I did not get to last week. So this will only take about 2 or 3 minutes, and Hebrews 13. Y'all are so funny, just so funny. So funny. Yeah, they don't have a thing to laugh about, do they? Did you all notice there were no victims last night? Did you notice that? Nobody was a victim last night. Everything was positive. Everything was, this is what America is all about. That little boy, that was awesome, wasn't it? Wasn't that so, making sure there's flags on veterans' graves. That's just awesome. And then the fellow that escaped from North Korea, and he had those old homemade wooden crutches with him. Oh, man, I was bawling my eyes out. That was just so good. But there was no victims, you know? Now, go back in your mind. Go back. Couple years ago, and it was all about victims, and the victims were Americans who were being victimized by Americans. You know, it was these poor gays, and they don't have their rights, and it's these poor people that need medical marijuana. You know, it's these poor people that the big bad wolf was America. It was the Republicans who were trying to keep, you know, other Americans from having all their rights. Well, I'm all for them getting rights. I'd like to give them a few lefts too, if you want to know the truth of it. But man, it's different last night, wasn't it? I just enjoyed it. I thought it was classic. All right, well, look at, all right, now you remember what we were talking about last week? We were talking about, the question was, if someone takes their own life, can they still go to heaven? And I took you through an argument. And I hope you remember that argument. That argument was based on the words eternal life. Remember that? Eternal life. All right, now, how long is that? Well, that's forever, okay? And the point that I made was that after you receive Christ as your Savior, and you have eternal life, there is absolutely nothing that the devil can do about that. There's nothing that man can do about that. There's nothing you can do about that. That eternal life was given to you by God. All right, now, I'm going to give you another argument tonight for eternal life in just a few minutes. But this, I want to tag last week with this. Look at verse 20. All right, chapter 13. Yes, I'm sorry. Did I not say that? I did say that. Okay, good. All right, so verse 20, chapter 13. It's on page 298. If you got the same Bible I do. All right, look at verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the, what's the next word? Everlasting covenant. The everlasting covenant. All right, now, if you know the book of Hebrews, you know that the theme of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus, God's only begotten Son, brought to us a better covenant, a better testament. All right, you have two testaments in your Bible, right? You have, in the front of your Bible, you have the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, and that covenant was based on the call of Abraham to the promised land to be God's people, his descendants to be God's people, and the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Okay, so that's the Old Covenant. And in that Old Covenant, you had all these amazing things that are dealt with in the book of Hebrews. All right, there the author of Hebrews takes that Old Covenant and says, you know, this was good, but Jesus is better. And, you know, Moses was good, but Jesus is better. And Melchizedek was good, but Jesus is better. And that's the whole argument through the book of Hebrews. And so when you get down to verse 20 of the 13th chapter, he's giving now the conclusion of the book. And he says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. May that God make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. All right, now, everlasting covenant. Okay, now you put yourself here. I'm gonna interject me where I came into the scene. All right, and that was in October of 1970. October of 1970. Cross Lanes, West Virginia. 16-year-old kid in a junior in high school. And I heard the gospel. I sat over on that side of the church against the wall. And on the fifth stanza of Just As I Am Without One Plea, I walked down the aisle, got on my knees, and I got saved. All right? October, let's put it here. October 1970. All right, now look at your verse. Paul said, or Barnabas, or whoever wrote this, said that this covenant that was made by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was an everlasting covenant. All right, now, I came into it in October of 1970. When did you come in? You don't have to answer that. Just put yourself there. Were you here or were you here? All right, so, but you're here, right? You're saved. If you're saved, say amen. Amen. All right, now watch. When Paul or Andrew or Barnabas or Timothy or whoever wrote Hebrews, when they talked about this blood of the everlasting covenant, that was 2,000 years ago, right? And they said when they wrote this verse back 2,000 years ago, that this covenant, this testament that Jesus gave us is an everlasting covenant. Now, do you know what that means? That means that when I came into it in October of 1970, it was still lasting. That's how I could get in. How about you? You with me on that? All right, so if it was everlasting when Jesus gave it to us, and when they mentioned it in chapter 13, verse 20, if it was everlasting then still lasting in October of 1970 when I got saved. Then here it is now, and it's January 31st, 2018. It's still hard to say that, isn't it? And so, if it was everlasting when it was given, and it was still lasting when I got saved, then here today, right here tonight, it's still lasting. Absolutely nothing can destroy it. Nothing can take it away from us. Oh, folks, do you not see that? What a wonderful salvation we have. I have told you over and over and over, I've said to you so many times, that when you get saved, God does not just lick your back, throw you against the wall, and hope you stick. No, He gives you an everlasting salvation. And it's your salvation is not based on a foot race between you and the devil to the pearly gates. You are saved. All right? Now, all right, we're moving on. All right, second message. Everybody got that one? All right, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Just go over a couple pages towards Revelation. 2 Peter chapter 1. All right, let's begin in, let's go with verse 1. All right, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now watch this. Verse 3, watch this carefully. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto what? Life. What kind of life? Yeah, we've learned that, haven't we? Eternal life. Wow, that's pretty cool, isn't it? According as His divine power, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. How many of you know the Lord? You're saved. You know the Lord. You're saved. That's what it means. Excuse me, sir. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? You have knowledge of the Lord. Amen. I mean, you ought to say, yes, sir. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. Wow. You say, well, what do I got to do to get that? Nothing. All you got to do is trust the Lord. He gives it to you. Amen. Oh, I got to do something. No. No, you don't have to do anything. You say, well, I got to work for it. No, the work's already been done. Your religion is not due, it's done.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. All right, look at it again. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. I think this is one of the greatest truths that you're going to find in the Bible. What is written here in verse 3? One of the greatest truths. The Bible tells us that the believer, the Christian, has been given the power to share in or to partake of the life of God.
Amen.
Wow. That is just amazing. Now, let's look up some verses, okay? Keep your finger right here, or stick your bulletin there, your prayer bulletin, and let's go over to Ephesians for just a minute. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me just read you a couple of verses here. I'm going to tie these together for you tonight. All right, Ephesians 2. Verse 1, everybody got it? All right, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Mercy, what a statement. And he's not even done yet. Verse 7, he says that in the ages to come, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves.
Amen.
It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
Now, hold your spot right there and just go back one book to Galatians. Hold your place there in Ephesians and just go back to Galatians 2 and verse 20. Just the next book back, chapter 2, Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Watch this now. And the what? Life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
Folks, the believer has been taken from being spiritually dead to being made spiritually alive.
Right.
You were spiritually dead, but now, through Christ, you are spiritually alive. Now get this, there must be life before there can be the activities of life. That's not complicated, but it sounds complicated. Is that right? Would you agree to that? Let me say it again. There must be life before there can be the activities of life. So here in Ephesians, we were all, before we were saved, dead. Dead. Spiritually dead. And then when we got saved, we were made alive. And the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and who gave himself for us. So an unsaved person is dead. Let me illustrate it. An unsaved person is dead in trespasses and sin. Now, question. Can a dead person make themselves alive? No. You know that is true, don't you? Let me ask you this. Can a dead person fellowship? No. No. One of the things about my job is I've done a lot of funerals in 40 years, a lot. I have seen things in funeral homes that just grieve your soul, break your heart. I mean, I have seen people stand and talk to their loved one. I have seen them stand there and talk to them, and but they can't fellowship. They can't talk back. They're dead. Can a dead person walk? No. Can a dead person talk? No. Can a dead person work? No. Can a dead person serve? No. One more. Can a dead person do anything? No, they're dead. They just lay there. You can walk up and take a pin and stick them. They don't go out. They don't flinch. Now, if I walked up behind you and stuck you with a pin, you're going into orbit. But you walk up to a dead person and stick them with a needle or with a pin, they don't flinch. Why? They're dead. They're dead. Now, you say, Pastor, what's the point? Listen to me now. That kind of knocks a hole in you working your way to heaven then, doesn't it? If you're dead, you can't do anything to merit your salvation. You're dead. You can't do a thing. If you're unsaved, you're dead spiritually, and you can't do anything to help yourself. That's what Titus 3:5 is all about. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And that's what Ephesians 2:8-9 are all about. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. You're dead. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if I'm dead and get saved, I must have someone else make me alive. I can't do it myself. Are you with me? I'm not trying to trick you, folks. I'm trying to get you to see a very real truth about your salvation. Go to John chapter 6. The Gospel of John chapter 6. Now here, I've been saying all that up to this point to say this. If I'm dead and spiritually dead and I get saved, I am coming alive, then I must have someone else make me alive. I cannot do it myself. I'm dead. Nod your head. You with me? That's the point. So look at chapter 6, Gospel of John, Verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Remember that? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Who brings me to life? Who gives me life? Who quickens me? Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You say, well, but you have to do good works. No, an unsaved person can't do good works. They're dead. Well, but you have to get baptized. No, no, no. You can't. You're dead. You're dead. You say, well, we'll drag you up there and we'll baptize you. Then you're dead and wet. But you're still dead. You with me? you have to get a priest. No, no, no. That's no good. You see, that's just the dead leading the dead. That'll get the cards and letters coming. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. All right, let's see. Go over to Titus. Y'all all right with turning to these verses? Go over to, let's see, where do I want to go? Let's go to Titus 3. Titus 3. Where does the time go? What time did you give it to me? Did anybody look at their watch when I got up here? Huh? It seemed like it. Just 2 or 3 minutes ago. You're good, Bob. At least you're listening. I know you're listening. All right. What am I doing here? Titus 3. Look at verse 5. Watch this now. Paul says, not by... What's not mean? Now, folks, come on. I didn't write this. I'm just telling you what's in your Bible. Not. Boy, there's got to be. You know how them Democrats were sitting there last night? You know? Just arms folded. Not. 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 Not, 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 not. I don't know how else to get you to see that. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Boy, you go down to West Virginia and say that. Man, there's Arminians down there. You know, they're all working their way to heaven. Everybody's working their way to heaven. Excuse me, sir, if something should happen to you and you should die, you would die. Do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Well, I sure hope I would. Oh, what are you basing that on? Well, I'm, you know, trying to live by the Ten Commandments. How you doing with them? Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Really? Yep. Well, sir, do you know for sure? Well, you know, I hope I would. Well, tell me, where's your hope? Well, I've been baptized. I've been baptized. You see, folks, we get the cart before the horse. You know, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Look at your verse. But according to his mercy, he saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So plainly and simply, we get saved by the Lord. We get quickened, we get made alive by the work of God that is that gets started by faith in Christ. You see that old word regeneration? That word, if you look up that word in the dictionary, here's what it means. It means the act of begetting. The act of begetting by God. It is the act where God gives you eternal life. You are regenerated. All right, let me help you with this. Inside of your blood is what is called DNA. You've heard that before? And inside of your DNA are your genes. Generation, regened. You with me? We're all talking about the same thing here. Regeneration. That's how you got saved. You were regenerated. All right, now question. How many of you were gened physically the first time, once? Raise your hand. All right, all of you were. You know, it's so funny. I can go up on the hill on Wednesday nights, which I will do here in a couple of months, and the little guys up there all bring candy in for me. And they put it in a great big chest, treasure chest. I mean, it is full of candy. And I'm going to lock it and hide it this year because it usually gets wiped out about 2 weeks after I get it. Liars are friars. Revelation 21:8, liars are friars. All right, now, I'll go up there on the hill and they sing to me, they quote me verses, and then they gather around, take a picture, and all the, it's, I love it. It's just awesome. And what is so neat is I can sit there and look at them, and I know who mommy and daddy are. You know why? Because they have your genes. Genetically, they are yours. They look like you. Their eyes are like your eyes. Their smile is like your smile. Their profile is your profile. They were generated. They were gened from you. Now, help me here. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. What happened to your genes? What happened? That you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You say, well, how did that happen? It was gened into you. That makes sense? You know, I've told you over and over and over, you don't have to sit little Susie down and say, now, Susie, mommy's going to show you how to cheat when you get in school. No, little Susie knows how to do that. You do not have to sit little Tommy down and say, now, Tommy, let me teach you some curse words. Oh, no, one day when you're not paying attention, you're going to say, what in the world was that? And he stubbed his toe and cussed to a fly wouldn't light in the room. Why? Because he's a sinner. Where'd he get it? Got it from you. So his genes came from you, and they are fallen. They are dead, spiritually speaking. Dead because of sin. And so what the Lord did was he shed his blood, the just for the unjust, and he now regenes us, regenerates us. And that's that. Okay, let me, let's go. We read it last week. Go to John 3 real quick. Running out of time. Hurry. I'm going to start. You catch up. John 3, 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a, when it says he was a ruler, it means he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a ruler. He was one of the big shots. All right, the same Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Now, you know what that word is? Regenerated. Regened. Jesus said, except a man be regened, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, if you have a Cambridge Bible where it says again in verse 3, there is a little 2. And you go to the center column and the King James translators, the men who translated from the Greek New Testament to the English, they have a little 2 and it says, except a man be born, instead of again, they said it can mean from above. Now you were born once from beneath here. Come on, you with me?
Yes, sir.
And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you've got to be born from above. You were born from below physically, but you must be born from above spiritually. Isn't that neat? And it's the word regenerated. You must be regened. Nicodemus saith unto him, now watch, Nicodemus. Now here's a ruler of the Jews now. All right. Here's a grown adult man. Nicodemus said unto him, look at me. You with me? What? What'd you say? Nicodemus said unto him, watch. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. Look here. I don't have time to prove it to you, but water. This is the book. The water of the word. It's cleanses. How do you know about Jesus? It's right here in the book. It's right here. You would not know that Jesus died for you were it not for the Bible. All right? So he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, there it is again, Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Watch this now. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Would you agree to that? Pinch yourself. That your flesh, right? That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spiritual. Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, Nicodemus. Marvel not that I say unto thee. Watch this now, Nicodemus. Don't miss this, buddy. You must be regened. You must be. You must be regenerated. You must be born from above. You were already born from here, but now you need to be born from above. All right? Now, that's the same word that is used over in Titus 3, 5. The exact same thing. The exact same thing. And so, Jesus was telling Nicodemus that he needed to be born from heaven. He had been born once from earth. Now he needs to be born again. Born from above. So regeneration is a second birth. But it is a birth from above that is accomplished by the Spirit. And regeneration is done by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. One more verse. Go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. And look at verse 20. Let's start with 19. All right, 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Watch this now. Being regened. Being regenerated. Do you see that? Being regenerated. Not of corruptible seed. That's how you were gened the first time. Okay? Corruptible seed. Being regened, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now look at that. Liveth, that's inspiration. Abideth, that's preservation. Folks, the Bible was inspired of God. Amen. So you and I would know how to be saved.
That's right.
And that is the way that we are regenerated. You see, being born again, being regened, cannot happen apart from the Word of God.
Amen.
You've got to have the Bible. It's the Word of God that shows us we're sinners.
Amen. That's right.
Okay? It's the Word of God that reveals God's love and God's grace. It's the Word of God that tells us Jesus came to die for us. And so Nicodemus, he scratched his head. He said, how can this be? How can this be done? How can this happen? And Jesus told him, you got to be born of water. That's the Word of God. And of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to cut through our sins and reveal to us the Savior. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convict us of sin. John 16:8. John 16:8 says, and when he is come, he will convince the world, convict the world, reprove the world of sin. And then the Holy Spirit and the Word of God creates faith. What's Romans 10:17 say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right, so there is your regeneration. Isn't that neat? It's forever, folks. Why do we want to sit around and say, well, you know, I hope I'm saved. No, I don't hope. I know. Your salvation is not a hope-so. Your salvation is a no-so. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Again, your salvation is not based on a foot race between you and the devil to the pearly gates. All you do is trust Christ, saved.
Amen.
Forever. Eternal life. You're regenerated, regened. That's awesome, isn't it?